The distributors of the movie Brokeback Mountain defend Larry Miller's decision to pull the movie from his theater. Distributors call it a business decision. Film critics say more gay films are set to be released soon, and more Utah theaters plan to release Brokeback Mountain this weekend.
Doug Wright.
He is a completely hopeless mess.
The Doug Wright Show.
An intense but superficial attraction that can easily be mistaken for something deeper.
On 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. KSL News Radio.
Great to have you along on today's Doug Wright Show. Let's go to Ken, who is joining us from, I assume that's Cedar Hills. Hi, Ken. You're on KSL.
Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Good. How you doing? Is this Ken Cromar?
It is.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
Telepathic there.
No. I just put Cedar Hills and Ken together and came up with you.
You're very kind. Hey, I would like to give a nomination for Hero of the Week to Larry Miller.
Yeah, I mentioned a lot of people have sent email that have said, yeah, he did something very heroic.
Oh, that took a lot of courage, and I applaud him for standing up for his principles. You know, I'm a little concerned about the movie Brokeback Mountain. Is that what we call it?
Yeah, Brokeback. Have you seen it?
I have not.
Yeah.
I have not.
And I do that, too. I choose movies not to see because I am particularly offended by hair, teeth, blood, guts, eyeballs, entrails, dismemberment, cowering naked females getting ready to be chainsawed. That's the kind of thing that really offends me. And those are quite regular fare, sadly, on many of our cineplexes and megaplexes and everything else. So, you know, I'll tell you, I'd see Brokeback Mountain any day before I'd see one of those movies. And I've chosen not to see some of them. Plus, as you know, I walk out of films. My life's too short, and even though I am a film critic, and even though I've had some fairly prestigious people that I highly respect, even in ecclesiastical circles, say, well, you know, Doug, you're in this case, it's like being a policeman or whatever. You're kind of the watchman on the tower, and this is your job. This is what you do. Hopefully, you will.
I used to do that at BYU. Actually.
Yeah, exactly. You'll let people know. But I'll tell you, there are things that I refuse to see. I refuse to see Hostel, based on what I heard about it. I have walked out of movies like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I walked out of Very Bad Things. I walked out of Sorority Boys just because it was so juvenile, so infantile, and so offensive to me. You know, so I walk out of movies all the time, and I'll tell you, there are lots of movies I'd walk out of that are on the big screen right now as regular fare before I'd walk out of Brokeback Mountain. And there were parts of Brokeback Mountain that made me very uncomfortable, uncomfortable.
I've read a lot of reviews. I used to do a film review at BYU back in the old days when we were cutting the films. I was part of a committee back then.
At the Varsity Theater?
Some of those concepts. And,
was that at Varsity?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. It was a committee of students and faculty, and it was a very organized thing. Just trying to get a broader range of films into the university without having to be offended by them. But speaking of which, as I read the reviews of Brokeback Mountain, excuse me, it became very clear to me that the storyline appears to be glorifying a relationship between two men, and despite the fact that they then go on to be married, that they then continually are having quote unquote fishing trips where they get back together.
I didn't see it as a glorifying of it. I saw it as a fairly unvarnished look at the heartache that was caused, particularly in that time frame, which was in the 1960s, the just literal heartbreak and torment of the wives when they discovered, there's this one scene where the wife is looking out of the window as the boys are going on the fishing trip, and she sees something that indicates that this is more than just, you know, cowboy friendship here, and it is heartbreaking. And the effect on the kids, in the case of Ennis, one of the characters, his two daughters, the older one in particular, the loneliness of the life, and then ultimately, and it's kind of in a flash thing, and I, you know, for those who still are going to see it, I don't want to give away too much, but the tragic end of one of the individuals, I'll tell you, I thought it was gut-wrenching. I didn't see it as glorifying in any way, shape, or form.
I just having read the reviews, though, I would tend to disagree with you. And I spoke with someone who saw it, and I guess you have seen it, too. But,
oh, absolutely.
But here's my concern. I believe that the film, based on the review of the storyline, is actually a misrepresentation of homosexuals in general. In that, documentation has proven that, and it's been documented very well, that on average homosexuals will have up to 500 different partners in a lifetime. This is documented. There's a lot of research on this, and you could find it at defendmarriage.com in a publication that they call Sexual Orientation that describes in detail 130-plus facts that are commonly unknown to the public with regards to the homosexual lifestyle. My point being this, I've never heard of, and I've got family members, I've actually been victimized as a child by an older teenage boy, something I could never even talk about until I hit 40.
That's terrible.
So I couldn't even talk about it. But I have paid attention to this subject for a long time, and it's very interesting to me. I see it as a very subtle way of trying to glorify in that these people, quote-unquote, true love, devotion, when in reality there's infidelity even within their marriage to women. But in reality it's much worse than that, because it is quite common that even when there are homosexuals who are quote-unquote devoted to each other and even get married in countries like Holland and some other countries, their relationships that don't even last 18 months, documentedly so, but even when they are devoted to each other, they have a provision in their relationship that allows for outside sexual activity.
Well, I think that's painting with an awfully broad stroke, and let's just put heterosexual in some of those very statistics versus homosexual. You look at the infidelity rates among heterosexuals, you look at the tragic decay of marriage that is going on right now, how few people, sadly, are indeed loyal to one another.
But the numbers are infinitely different.
Well, and sometimes you ask yourself why. And again, you know, I'm as straight as can be. I try to have compassion. I try to have some genuine compassion, because I have many, as I've indicated to you, I think in conversations in the past, I have friends who are gay. I've had very close relatives who are gay, and I love them dearly and see them as
we need to love all of God.
Well, and not only that, but so many of I look at their gifts and I look at their skills. And I look at what they bring to the table in society, and those who are without sin, you know, kind of cast the first stone type thing here. And there are many heterosexuals who have insidious, sins that are ripping their families apart, and so on. So I think we need to be very careful about painting with such, a broad brush here.
I agree with you. Every individual is different, but let me ask you this question. Here's just an example. Have you ever heard of a couple of guys who meet each other, fall in love, hold hands, date, decide that they are going to commit themselves to each other, get married in whatever fashion that might be, and then have sexual relations? Never heard of it.
You know, well, to tell you the truth, Ken, you apparently have. I don't ask people about that. I have many gay friends, and I have not asked them. It's none of my business. And I don't know. I don't ask my heterosexual friends that. Why would I ask my homosexual friends that? I don't know. And sadly, just because of how close I am to people and just because of things that they volunteered to me, I can tell you I know many, many heterosexual couples that would fall into that exact same category you just described.
Well, once again, sociologically speaking, and it can be found at the those who are might be interested at defendmarriage.com in an article that's called Sexual Orientation. The facts that are documented, well researched over many, many years, demonstrate that the homosexual lifestyle is really one more of sexual gratification as often and as possible. Once again, general broad strokes. But and most people don't even realize that there are.
Do you think in any way, shape, or form, Ken? And then I've really got to run. We're 5 minutes past traffic and weather here, because I wanted you to. First of all, I'm interested in what you're saying, and I wanted you to have a shot. But do you think in any way, shape, or form, perhaps the persecution that these individuals have received over the years, we can debate where this comes from and everything else. But I'm just asking again a general question: the fact that it has been so unacceptable on every level of society in the past, particularly, that those who have this tendency, I'll use that term, that they have been driven into the shadows, they have been driven into the corners, they have been persecuted, they have been beaten up, they have been...
And that is not right.
Exactly. But do you think that if some of these statistics that you are quoting are indeed factual, and I have no reason to question them, that that might be a little bit of the explanation for some of that, that they cannot function on a level in society, right or wrong, that quote-unquote normal heterosexual couples do. So it drives them perhaps into some of these things that might increase those statistics you're quoting.
Let me answer that question this way. I find that it's very much a double standard in that if I were to have gone to my wife and said, honey, I love you very much. I want you to be the mother of my children. I want to live with you forever. Will you marry me? But there's something very important you need to understand, and that is that I have a need to be with many other women. If that's okay with you, let's talk to your parents, and if that's okay with them, then let's get married.
Well, see, I know.
It's a double standard because who in their right mind would say that that's okay?
Well,
I'm talking about fidelity. A devotion between a man and a woman, or in the case of homosexuality, a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, in the homosexual lifestyle, it is not one of fidelity, period. It's documentably so. And to then have a movie that comes out and tries to, and I would say glorify, even though...
Well, and it didn't show fidelity. And had you seen the movie, it did not show fidelity. The character,
well,
Jack...
That's what I'm saying, though, but what it was trying to do is say, look at the conflict between two men that are in love with each other, yet love these women, but yet are devoted to each other. And what I'm trying to say to you is it's not true.
Well, you know, Ken, we're already about 7 minutes past traffic and weather, so I'll just kind of let your comments stand here. I appreciate I appreciate your comments and an interesting discussion, and I'll be interested in the reaction to it with our KSL listeners. Ken, thanks for joining us here at KSL. Let's go to Becky, who is on the cell phone. Hello, Becky. You're on KSL.
Hi, Doug.
Hi.
There's just a couple things that I thought I would mention since there's been so much in the news about Larry and about how he shows other movies that some people consider worse.
How many people will agree on everything all the time for a 20-year period, and all of us are destined to do something that we will disagree with somebody else occasionally? Sometimes it might even be kind of major league. You know, it might have been a bad hair day. It might be a legitimate thing that you believe in, that where you just differ from somebody else. But this immediate gut reaction that all of a sudden somebody does something that we perceive, you know, it's not immoral, it's not anything like that, it's just a decision that they made and we're willing to go out and hang them over it, just amazes me.
Well, and it's great. We live in a country where we can have our free agency to make our own choice.
That's right. And it's like I've said, you know, the Lord gave us an amazing thing, and that's called, you know, free agency. And I think, you know, the remote control is a direct gift from God, too, because we can change our channels. There is an on-off switch and a dial on your radio. You can change stations. And if you want to go see a movie, thank heaven there's more than one theater complex in which to do it.
Yes.
Hey, I appreciate your phone call.
Thank you.
Good to chat with you.
Bye-bye.
KSL Talk is our number, 575-8255. Let's go to Ryan, who's on the cell phone. Hey, Ryan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Well, and this might seem a little extreme for Wacko of the Week, but I'd like to nominate Wacko of the Day as Ken from Cedar Hills. And I'll tell you why. I'm a male and a happily married man, a member of the LDS Church, and it absolutely infuriates me when other members of the church, and anyone for that matter, feel that it's their right to judge and then condemn people that don't agree with their views. And, you know, I happen to know and associate myself with people that are gay and lesbian and know them, and I know that they make great contributions to our society. And it absolutely breaks my heart that people will condemn these people like they are some type of a common criminal, and like you mentioned, paint with a broad brush a picture about these people that they are not. I know people that are in long-term relationships, and they're great people, and it just absolutely breaks my heart that people would condemn these people and put them out on an island to do whatever it is that they want to do. But and like I say, maybe that's a little harsh, but it really upsets me that people think that they have the right to judge people that way and to put them out on a, you know, an island like that.
Ryan, I appreciate your phone call.
Thank you.
Good to chat with you. Yeah, in this day and age, I get concerned, and when we kind of label somebody with a proclivity for something that they are kind of because of whatever they are or do, or we perceive that they are or do, that they are basically destined to, and it's, somehow a foregone conclusion that something is going to occur. And by so many of the arguments that I hear over the years on various topics, it's amazing. It's easy to start rattling off statistics and labeling things and so on, but it's amazing how sometimes you just change a word. And those same statistics and those same proclivities and those same whatever, or what appears to be, a trend or a norm or whatever would apply if you put, another kind of filled in the blank with something else. So yeah, I think we need to be real careful about judging people with such, broad strokes. And sometimes people have had a personal experience. Whether it's a personal negative experience of a racial nature, or whether it's a personal experience of a sexual nature, or whether it's a personal experience with a bully or whatever it is, that can change their attitudes and shade their attitudes for the rest of their lives. And that's why it's just so important. Again, I reflect back on that, to me at least, it was a very, very meaningful speech that Governor Leavitt made years ago, just the economics of virtue, and we can use economics in a term that can be very broad as well. Just if we'd all treat one another properly, if we would, it's so simple, it's overly simple, it's so blindingly simple to apply the golden rule, and what a different world we would live in. How much better we would feel, how much nicer we would be, what a better life we would have, what a safer life we would have, lower taxes that we would have. The list goes on and on and on if we would just treat one another honorably and decently. We have Pat, who is joining us on the cell phone. Hello, Pat. You're on KSL.
Hey, Doug. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks.
Hey, I missed talking to you the other day, but I'm still kind of upset about it. When you read that press release from Heath Ledger from Australia, it really struck a note. I think the Hollywood types better take a lesson from the Dixie Chicks, because the Hollywood group and the gay community, they've got their bully pulpits, and that's provided to them by the mainstream media, but they demand that we accept their agenda. Yet when we stand by our principles and convictions, the words he used was immature and frivolous. So Heath Ledger's a young actor. He's got a long way to go. But I made my mind up at that point that, I don't care what venue he's in, what the storyline is, I'm done with Heath Ledger because he considers my principles immature and frivolous.
Well, see, I don't mind somebody disagreeing with me, but when they are condescending, when they're condescending, and he was not only condescending, but he was judgmental of the entire state. Broad brush statements tend to bother me. He made such a broad brush statement about us as Utahns, Mormons, everything else, used the F word in apparently he wasn't able to articulate his thoughts eloquently enough without using that. And it really disappointed me, because I can see him saying, well, I wish they hadn't done that. I think my film has some merit. I'm proud of the performance that I did in it. It's somewhat controversial. I understand where they're coming from, but I wish they hadn't done that. I mean, you go, okay, yeah, fine. But it's that mocking, and isn't that a key word? Isn't that a key word? There's nothing more degrading than just mocking somebody. And honest to Pete, I find myself in such a unique situation here. Because had I owned the theaters, I probably would not have made the same decision that Larry did. But I absolutely respect his right to make that decision. It is his theater. It's his. If he decides, as I mentioned earlier, to show nothing but Armenian movies with subtitles and sepia tones, black and white, whatever, or if he decided to just devote every one of the 17 screens, including the IMAX screen, to the silent era, he has every right to do so. And, he may go out of business. It may irritate some people, but it's his store. It's his movie store. He can stock whatever he wants on the 17 shelves that he has available. People also have the right to make their choice whether or not that is something to their liking. But yeah, Heath Ledger's comments, I thought, were if anything showed immaturity, I think his comments did. Let's go to Angie, who's joining us on the line in Salt Lake City. And you know what? I'm gonna really go out on a limb here. You know, is there a gay agenda? Yeah, there is a gay agenda. And do you know what part of it is? Part of it is to not have people call them queers anymore. You know, part of the gay agenda is to not be beaten up in the back alleys of schools anymore. Is there a gay agenda? Sure, there's a gay agenda. Part of the gay agenda is to try to let people know that, you know what, they contribute to society, that they are, you know, friends and neighbors, they are aunts and uncles, they are fathers and brothers and mothers and sisters. In many cases, they are parents. Is there a gay agenda? Of course there's a gay agenda. Now, some part of the agenda might be perceived to some as being over the top, trying to, quote, force acceptance of a lifestyle or whatever. But I'll tell you, some of the things that I just mentioned are at the foundation of the gay agenda. To not be persecuted anymore. To not have some self-righteous bigots, you know, beat them up and leave them hanging on a rail fence in Wyoming. You know, is there a gay agenda? Of course there's a gay agenda. And some parts of it are absolutely appropriate. Some parts of it are a little uncomfortable for folks, you know. And so, you know, when I hear that term gay agenda, I mean, doesn't every religion have an agenda? Of course they do. They want you to understand them. They want you not to persecute them. They would hopefully like you to join their ranks. I don't know if some gay people would like you to join their ranks or not. I have never seen that to be the case. I have never, ever seen a case of, quote, recruitment. And let me just tell you one thing. Homosexuality is not contagious. 575-8255 is our number. Let's go to Angie, who's joining us on the line in Salt Lake City. Hi, Angie. You're on KSL.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us.
I've been listening about this issue for the last several days. I really enjoy your show, and I especially appreciate your open-mindedness about the issue. I'm pretty conservative. I'm LDS. I'm a mother of five. I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I think the bully pulpit definitely goes the other direction. And I think, you know, I think we can get a little too hung up on this idea of you know, not being tolerant of people. You know, you can take tolerance too far. But I have a favorite quote from a favorite book that says, as a gay man, I've found it's easier for me to get sex on the streets than to get a hug in church. And I just think that's tragic, and I think when we get so forceful and start using words like those people and their agenda, it's just harmful. I mean, they're people. They're people, yeah. And everyone has their issues. Everyone has their struggles, and we just need to treat people as people and lovingly respect them and disagree if we need to disagree. But I think it's ridiculous sometimes how we take our own agendas when we go against other people, and I just think it's terribly unfortunate. So.
Yep. You know, and sometimes, too, you know, the question that I think we should all ask ourselves, regardless of what religion we're in, what would Abraham do? What would, you know, what would Jesus do? What would other, you know, other fine note of what would, you know, just a truly good, decent, righteous person do? And the hug in church would be given, by the way.
And the gay people would be absolutely comfortable in Jesus' presence, I'm convinced.
Well, and the thing, too, you know, I did an interview that has just, you know, sometimes I always appreciate all my guests, and most people really do have something that leaves me enriched. But this particular couple, and I won't use a whole lot of names here, but it was a show that we do on the weekends, and there was a book out called Quiet Desperation. And the authors of that book, at least the parents, and there was another young man who was also a co-author of that book, they told the story of their son who had struggled with this his whole life, same-sex attraction. And that he had just, they told me the stories of how, you know, just the gut-wrenching, agonizing things that he went through trying to reconcile. And not only his feelings, but the attraction, but the way he was accepted within the religious community in which he belonged. And he attended a meeting, and many people in this area are familiar with this meetings, where people just spontaneously will stand up and give their thoughts. And there was an issue in California. I can't remember if it was Proposition 23 or what it was, but it was, you know, a constitutional issue change that was going on. And some people became so zealous and so overboard on that first of all, every house on the street in this particular neighborhood, and then this individual in church stood up and said something to the effect of, and that all gay people ought to be, this was in church, And this is in, you know, and again, people can relate to what I'm the environment that I'm describing here. This person spontaneously stood up in the middle of their once monthly meeting and said that all of the gay people ought to be rounded up and taken out into the bay. This happened to be in the Bay Area of California, and thrown overboard. I was so speechless, and these parents, when they were telling this story, had tears in their eyes. It affected their son so detrimentally that the clergyman actually said, you know, maybe while all of this fervor is going on, maybe I should just give you an excuse from this particular meeting monthly. And it wasn't long after that young man, so torn, so tortured, so ostracized, killed himself. On the steps of the church. And is that where we're going? I mean, is that Christianity? Is that what Jesus taught? Is that what, you know, and I hear some of the broad brush strokes that are made, some of the just blanket judgments that are made, and I don't know why. I don't know. You know, I've always said that certainly choice is always a factor in a heterosexual relationship, in a homosexual relationship, in a celibate relationship. You make choices. Always, always, always there is choice involved in what we do and how we conduct ourselves. However, I become increasingly convinced that there are other things too, above and beyond just choice. Does environment play into it? Yeah, maybe. Does what we come into this earth with, our hardwiring, play into it? I suspect that it does. I don't know. I'm not a biochemist, physicist, a doctor. I don't know, but I've been assured by many who do have those credentials that they lean in that direction. I don't know. Nobody knows the answer. From my religious background, we all come into this world with certain crosses to bear. Some people, it's a physical defect. Some people, it's a mental defect. Some people, it is, huge strength and good looks, which can be both a curse and I see children that are born into this world with birth defects. I don't know why people come into this world with the package that they do. I don't know why certain things are allowed by our Creator. I don't pretend to have the answer. I don't know if some people come into the world, I guess if we can believe that a Down syndrome child can come in with a little switch of or a cross in a chromosome. I don't know why we can't believe that maybe there are some things, a particular cross that someone is maybe even called to bear. I don't know if that's the case or not. That's why I err on this on the side of compassion. I don't pretend to know. I don't have the ability to know. But I do know many things that were absolute fact. Many, many years ago, that someone with a mental illness was obviously possessed by demons. That someone who had an extra finger was obviously, that was a sign of the devil. And that person, whether it be Mary Queen of Scots or whomever, was destined for the rest of their life to wear a glove to conceal that. Because, of course, it was a mark of the devil. Of course, someone who suffered from mental illness was possessed by demons or perhaps even being punished by God. And now that sounds so ridiculous to us. And who knows what some of these answers are? And so forgive me if I occasionally appear to be erring on the side of compassion, because I don't know and I don't have the right to judge. I got this email from a person who identifies himself as just a nice guy, came in just a few moments ago. Dear Doug, I'm one of those, quote, people that went through exactly what Heath Ledger's character did in Brokeback Mountain. It hurts me to hear comments like the caller Ken, who was trying to show gay men in the poorest light. It is unfortunate that he has not seen the pain that men and women like me have been through. I loved my wife and children. I did my best to survive in a hetero world. I did that until I reached a point where it was either the end of my life or I come out. I attempted to end it 3 times. It took me a long time to learn that Heavenly Father loves me and wanted me to live and be happy. I wanted to thank you for the stance that you took in talking to Ken. It's because of people like you that I continue to try to be the best father and person that I can. A respectful listener signs this. I listen daily and respect most of your standards, stands, and opinions. Your recent caller seemed to be allowed an inordinate time To discuss the dark side of homosexuality. I personally hope that you give adequate and fair time for differing opinions. I know many heterosexual people, both men and women, who have the sexual habits that the last caller despises. I hope this caller can find peace with his past. I know the pain of abuse can go very deep. Regarding Brokeback, I'm straight. I saw it. I liked it. But let's just remember, it's a movie. Doug Wright Show here at KSL News Radio, and let's go to, back to the phone lines, and I've got some more email that hopefully we can share too, but let's go to Deborah, who's joining us from Sandy. Hi, Deborah. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Doug. I've listened to your show just about daily, but I just wanted to chime in, and, you know, I do agree with Larry H. Miller. He does have the right to say what plays and does not play in his movies. And, you know, I applaud him for that. We all have rights, you know, and freedoms. And I would also like to say that, like you, I have had many gay friends, homosexual friends, and I loved them very much. And in the Bible, you know, Jesus tells us that we are to love one another. It doesn't mean that we have to accept their way of life, but we are to love them despite anything else. They are human. God created them, and we are to love our fellow brothers and sisters. Whether we agree with their lifestyle or not is beyond the point. We are to love them.
Right. And we don't have to accept what we see is immoral. We don't have to adopt and embrace some of the things that are troubling about it. But embracing the individual, making them feel welcome, making them feel loved, it's part of the deal. It is part of the deal. I appreciate your thought. I wish we had more time. We're leaving so many people hanging on the phone lines today, and I've got email like crazy. Tomorrow we'll have an open phone Friday where we can address this a little bit more. But thanks so much for listening to The Doug Wright Show. It's always a joy to sit around and talk about the issues of the day with you.
Now FM is more than music. When you want news, traffic, or weather, turn on 102.7 FM. KSL News Radio. 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. This is KSL FM, Midvale, KSL, Salt Lake City.